Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. Hope everyone's having a great day.
I'm having a chaotic day so far. My morning,
Always a journey.
My morning just got turned upside down. I just want to tell you guys what happened quickly so you can understand the headspace that I am, which is frantic.
It's giving Claire Crawley.
Okay, so this morning, and I've been feeling recently like it's time to start letting Brew out of the crate when mommy leaves the house. You know, I mostly am home with him, but I do come to the show every day and he goes in the crate. He knows that he's going. He goes, you know.
And it's actually like a really good schedule for him, I just want to say.
It is a great schedule for him. But I've been realizing more and more like it's time for him to take the next step and to be left out of the crate. So I was like, you know what? This morning is a good time to do it. I'll be gone a few hours. He knows I'm coming back. Like, it's not a random time of day. So I do my thing. I leave him out. I leave the house. I'm checking the dog camera to see if I can see him. I couldn't see him yet. I'm in the Uber and I'm checking the dog camera. I still can't see him, but I'm hearing noises. It sounds like something is happening. You know, these are nefarious dog noises.
They're nefarious noises.
And he wasn't making the noise. It sounded like he got into a package of some sort. I was like, oh, I must have left, you know, like one of my packages by the door and he's trying to open it, whatever. I get out of the Uber, I run home, and I get home and he got into a pack of Cheetos.
He deserves it.
Which, like, we keep all of our snacks in the same place forever. He's never jumped that high to get one of the snacks. So, like, the second mom leaves the house, he
Jackie,
had this...
necessity is the mother of invention.
He had this master plan. Like, he's like, I'm getting those Cheetos when I have free time. So... suffice to say, Brew is back in the crate.
Thank God you went back, because who knows what else he could have gotten into.
Oh my God, he would have finished a bag of Cheetos and then he would have went for his next snack.
The chocolate's like dangerous.
No, you guys, it was too soon. He was not ready. This man was not ready. So it's back to the crate for Brew, but we tried.
And that's really all that matters.
And I just want to say, like, mother's intuition. Like, I
mother's
knew
intuition.
Those sounds were not correct.
No, you knew they were nefarious sounds.
And I just, Bruce, I love you still. I thought we were somewhere that we aren't. And that's okay.
You definitely jumped the gun.
No, I mean, like, it's hard. People say, like, at 1 year, they're fine to start being on their own.
But, you know, every dog is different. Like, you, I think you measure or take a lot of notes from Magnolia. But Magnolia, like, was brought up by a single mom. Like, she has a different type of energy. Like, Magnolia is tough. Bruno is, like, a little bit of, like, a spoiled brat. Like, he's spoiled with love.
What,
like,
do you mean? He's mommy's king.
You work from home. You and, like, for as long as you've had him, like, you and Zach have pretty much both worked from home. Like, he's spoiled in a sense. Like, he's never had to really deal with any adversity.
Yeah.
So he's just different. And that's okay.
It's okay. You know what? It's okay. It works for us. He'll stay in the crate. He loves the crate. And so... He's
safe.
He's sleeping off those Cheetos right now.
Good.
And I'm just upset because I can't eat.
Now you don't have any Cheetos.
Now I don't have any Cheetos.
Devastating.
It is. That was probably the hardest part. But I'm glad that, you know, it all worked out and that I went home. Otherwise, I would be so anxious sitting here, like, knowing
where's that. No, it's not enjoyable.
No, not enjoyable. Let's scratch that. Bruce stays in the crate.
Bruce stays in the crate.
Yeah.
Well, this is our last in-studio show for the week because I am headed to the airport right after this to go to LA for literally like 2 days. But I am very excited. I've got my looks put together and it was not easy, you guys. Like, I'm wedding fatigued, like, or just like black tie event fatigue. Like, I've searched every website. I've worn all my possible dresses.
Went to one wedding.
No. What? I've been to like literally six weddings in the last couple months.
Where?
all over. I went to one in the Hamptons. I went to, yes, one in Rome. I went to one in Long Island. I went to one in Telluride.
6 months.
Maybe okay. less than that. I went to Telluride. Like, I've been to a million fucking weddings.
Oh, okay.
And I have four this weekend.
That's just not how I see you, as someone who's always at a wedding.
Well, maybe that's something you need to work on, because I've literally been to so many fucking weddings, and that's literally, like, my cross to bear for being so popular.
Okay.
And being such a great wedding guest, like, you, who wouldn't invite me?
Yeah.
I'm true. Really, like, if you invite me to your wedding, like, you're getting your money's worth. Like, I will eat everything you paid for. I will drink everything you paid for. I will dance to the band that you paid for. I will close this place down.
Wow.
So, like, who wouldn't invite me, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'll put you on my Instagram too, which is always just like an added bonus.
That's true.
I'm a premium guest.
That's very true.
You always have to think about that. Like, I mean, I got married so young, like, I didn't even know what I was doing. But if I was planning a wedding now, like, I would evaluate every single guest based on what value they bring to the wedding. Not like, oh, well, she's from, you know, middle school. No, fuck that. Are you going to bring value or not?
Right, but you haven't seen, like, middle school Diana in so long. Like, maybe she turns up.
That's true.
It's hard to know.
That's true. But I think it's still a fair way to assess. Like, if you're getting married, like, do a value check on all your guests.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. And you can definitely invite some people who, okay, you're not that close, but, like, you want them out there on that dance floor.
You want that energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm going to another wedding this weekend. But I'm very excited for this one. And yeah, that's where I'm going after this. So tomorrow's episode will be podcast only. I do apologize, but there will still be an episode.
Yeah, so no worries. And tomorrow will be like all about the new music, because there's just a lot to process.
And you know what's so nice is, like, for most of the new music, I'm going to be in LA, which means I'm going to get it at 9 o'clock.
Oh, that is nice.
Which is such a privilege that people on the West Coast, like, never talk about. They're always complaining, like, Bachelor spoilers. Really? Like, you get music literally before you go out for dinner. Like, it's so nice.
That is interesting.
All we hear is, like, the negatives, you know, never the positives. It's twisted.
For sure, for sure.
For sure.
So how was your night last night?
My night was good. I went to dinner with TPG and Tyler C. And it was just like, I've never felt so short in my life. I actually wore the biggest pair of boots.
I saw.
That I bought yesterday. And it was just like, it was a lot, you know, like the two loves of my life. But it was really fun. And I have a terrible headache. But I'm pushing through.
Did you drink a lot? Or this was an unearned headache?
No, I definitely earned it.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't drink like a lot, but I didn't drink a little.
Okay. That's good.
But, you know, there's a Casamigos Blanco shortage. Do you know?
No. Ooh, so I know.
For the last, oh, right. For the last, like, couple months, pretty much every restaurant in the city, like, does not have Casamigos. And if they do, they don't have Blanco. There's, like, a major shortage in the New York area. Like, everywhere I go. So I've had, and you don't understand, like, it's all I drink. That's, there's not, like, really another option
does
for me.
Does anyone know what it's due to?
Sure. Like, just supply just chain. Supply like, chain? That's, like, everyone's talking about supply chain. Like, okay. That's literally how the supply chain is affecting me. So when I go places, it really makes it a huge problem for me. So when I go somewhere and they have Don Julio Blanco, like, I will drink that. But at the restaurant we went to last night, they didn't have Don Julio Blanco. So I just kept getting drinks with, like, different tequilas, like, trying them all. I had 818 Blanco in a margarita, and I'm so sorry. Like, it was disgusting. Like, I couldn't believe it. Because I've drank it, like, in shots before. I don't think it's, like, a good tequila to make cocktails with.
Okay, but it's good for shots?
It smells like chocolate. Like, it's so bizarre.
But it's good for shots.
Yeah.
That's probably more important. It's good on its own.
But when I took a shot with it once, I was, like, blacked out. So, like, I probably would have drank anything. Mm. Then I had Casa Dragones, which was, like, okay, but a little smoky, which is not my favorite. And then I got really fucking desperate and I drank Haha. And it was some of the most disgusting shit I've ever drank in my life.
Wow.
So I was like just desperate. And then I went to, then we went to another place afterwards that had like Don Julio Blanco. But I don't, are other cities, states experiencing this shortage? It's really affecting me.
I mean, these shortages are out of control.
It's the first one I've been in contact
directly
with.
Directly in yeah. contact with?
Or directly affected by.
You don't see it like when you're grocery shopping?
I don't really go grocery shopping.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, unless, like, there's a shortage on Uber Eats, it's probably not going to affect me, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
So that's my drama. And I think that's why I have, like, such a weird headache. Like, it's I have a headache, like, placed in the center of
no,
my scalp.
You have a Casamigos headache, an 818 headache, yeah. A Casa Dragones headache.
And then I have the Haha flu. Like,
Don Julio headache and the Haha flu.
Yeah, so that's why I have a headache, because I basically drank, like, five different liquors. It was just, like, so, and then I got so many drinks because I just kept hating them.
This is, yeah.
No. So I was like, let me get another one, finish this one, until I landed. And it was a journey. But you know what? That's life, you know?
Yeah.
Adversity.
Yeah.
But I came through on the other side.
Wow, that really sounds torturous.
It kind of was. And I was like, I guess I could just switch to like wine or like literally anything else. But I don't drink anything else. I'll just not drink.
Yeah. There's got to be one other thing. You have to have a backup.
No, I know. But like, I don't.
A beer?
Okay. I'm not going to dinner with Tyler C.
No, he would love that. And drinking a beer. Oh, Claudia, you're not like other girls.
You're not like other girls.
Yeah.
I do have to.
What does Tyler drink?
Red wine.
Classy.
Red wine. And Brian drank like a little bit of everything. He started with martinis. But Brian's like such a big guy. Like, it doesn't even faze him.
It's different.
It's like him drinking a Pellegrino is him drinking a martini. It's the craziest thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a lovely evening. And that's like my jam.
Okay, cool. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. I spent the night watching the CMA Awards, so that will be our first story. All the winners.
When I got back from dinner, I watched like every clip on YouTube. So I feel like I was there.
Okay, cool. No, it was really exciting to watch. It was back at full capacity. It was the real deal. Everyone, it felt like everyone was there in every category. All the nominees were present. So it's like anyone could win. It was really exciting to be a part of.
Country music like respects the CMAs. I feel like all these pop music award shows are so like obviously rigged. Nobody goes to any of them except the Grammys. And still, even the biggest artists don't go. Like,
yeah.
Country music, like, they really kind of like look out for one another. They all show up for the CMAs, and that's why the CMAs are successful, and you love to see it.
You love to see it. So without further ado, I think we're just going to jump right into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Hydro Jug. You guys need to get your hands on the water bottle everyone is talking about, the Hydro Jug. It's seriously one of our new favorite items. They're durable and reusable. They hold more than half a gallon of water, so you will stay hydrated all day long. So yes, they hold half a gallon of water. They have a leak-proof seal, a wide mouth opening, so it makes it really easy to add ice or fruit or whatever you want to add. It also has an integrated handle because chugging looks cooler one-handed. It's dishwasher safe, shatterproof, and it's just great for keeping you on track with drinking your water and carrying it around with you, leaving it at your desk, taking with you to your meetings. It comes in like tons of cute colors. It's a great way to just stay hydrated, gamify, and a lot of celebs are using the Hydro Jug, so that's pretty much all you need to know. You can get your Hydro Jug at www.thehydrojug.com and use code TOAST to get 10% off your order. Hydro Jugs are game changers for anyone on the go. Again, use code TOAST at thehydrojug.com to get 10% off today and start hydrating today.
Thank you, Claudia. First story, the CMA Awards 2021, the full list of winners, and then we'll talk about some of the performances. The big award of the night, Entertainer of the Year, went to Luke Combs. So deserved. It was the only award that he won during the broadcast last night. So it was the first time we like heard from him on stage, aside from his performance of his new song, which was
so good.
Which was so beautiful and stunning.
By the way, he probably thought because he didn't win any awards, like he definitely wasn't winning.
Because Chris Stapleton was winning everything. He won Song of the Year, Album, Male Vocalist. And it just was feeling like, okay.
It was Chris's night.
This is Chris's night. But I guess Luke, and I would agree, was more entertaining this year than Chris Stapleton.
See, I never understood how you can have the album of the year, be the male vocalist of the year, and not be the entertainer of the year. But that's happened to Luke. Like, in previous years, he's won so many of those big four categories and not won entertainer.
It's a little different, though, because it's like, to be the male vocalist of the year, like, that's just about your pipes. Like, whose pipes sounded the best?
I don't know if it's about singing abilities.
It's about vocals. Like, really, if you're getting down to it, and then the entertainer of the year is about everything. It's about the shows. It's about social media. It's about commercials. Like, you know, so you can be one and not the other.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we've been waiting for this for so long. Like, I have a very, very vivid memory of last year. Me and Margo were at TPG's house watching, and they were like, Luke! And me and Margo started screaming. And I forgot that Luke Bryan was nominated, and it was like, Luke Bryan? Like, just moronic.
But he is an entertainer of the year. He hosted last night, you know, he does American Idol. That's the sort of thing that he's been entertaining all year.
Yeah, I guess, but like still, with COVID, no one was doing more than Luke Combs 6 feet apart, putting out music as frequently as he could, killing it on social, doing all these live streams. Like, he was the entertainer of the COVID year. And you know what? I'm glad he didn't win it because who the fuck wants that? Like,
right. This was a real year. This was a real show. Fans were there. There'll be crowds and there'll be shows. And there were. And so it was just so beautiful. Obviously, like, his winning moment. Like, he was really surprised. I think we all thought it was just going to be Chris Stapleton again.
Yeah.
He hugged Nico. He went up to the stage.
He was so nervous. Like, he didn't really even, like, say anything. I agree. I did not think. He said, I've never written a speech for a moment like this. I never thought it would happen.
He was just shook to the core.
I'm just obsessed. And you know what? I realized something about Luke last night when he was making a speech and when he was singing his performance. You know that thing Ben does with his feet? It's not pigeon-toed. I've learned I was pronouncing it wrong. It's the opposite. I think it's duck-footed.
Okay.
Or, yeah, whatever. He does it. I think that's why I'm so attracted to him.
So now that makes it okay that Ben's doing it.
Now it makes it cool.
Now every time you trip over his foot, you'll be like, oh, Luke.
Nico goes through this too. I was so, I just couldn't believe it. You know, we've waited so long for this. Like, we are OG Luke Combs. Like, we've been with him since day fucking one. And it just feels good to have, like, the benefits of our hard work, like, to finally pay off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it felt so good. It was the perfect way to end the night. Then also, female vocalist of the year was Carly Pearce, someone else who did not think she was going to be winning. It was such a pleasure to watch her
freak out.
Like,
and you know what's nice about Carly Pearce, and I felt this way for a really long time, like when we first, you know, entered the Nashville scene. Everyone in Nashville, like, has so much respect for her. Like, the way they talk about her, like, she's the most hardworking. Everyone just has this, like, mutual admiration and respect for her. And you have to wonder, like, what that's all about. And I think she's just, like, a really hardworking girl.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see someone have their hard work pay off.
Yeah. No, it was, and I didn't really know who was going to win this category, female vocalist. I didn't have a horse in this race. Gabby Barrett, Miranda Lambert, Ashley McBride, Maren Morris, Carly Pearce. So I would have been happy with anyone.
Me too.
I was happy to see it go to someone who really, really didn't think.
Yeah.
To have that, like, moment of, which we rarely get these days, of like, holy shit.
Especially at the CMAs, because for a while it was like the same five people winning every award.
Yeah.
And especially in female categories, it was always Miranda Lambert or Carrie Underwood, which they're both deserving of, but like, we could change it up every year.
Yeah. The male vocalist of the year was Chris Stapleton. I felt good about that, especially because even though you guys know I'm not like a huge Chris Stapleton girly, I'm not against him in any way. It just never stuck for me. But his performance was like head and shoulders above everyone else. He performed on his own, and then he also performed with Jennifer Hudson, and like, he is the male vocalist of the year.
The thing about Chris Stapleton that I fucking love is he is weirdly, and no one really talks about it because he's so fucking low-key. He doesn't, like, take paparazzi pictures. Like, he's, like, he is so fucking famous. He literally sells out arenas, like, in the same way that, like, Beyonce and Taylor Swift do. Like, he has the biggest following. Everyone wants to work with him. He's on Red. He's on Adele's album. Mm-hmm. But he's so country, and he's never once wavered. Like, he goes to CMAs every year, and he goes to the Grammys, but he's so country, and he's, like, so proud of his country. And I just fucking love that about him.
Yeah, no, he was giving us everything last night, and I fully understood, and I was not upset with his winnings.
But he's, like, the most low-key artist, and most people don't realize, I think he has, like, similar sales, album sales and ticket sales, as, like, the biggest artist in the country.
Yeah, he's like Garth Brooks.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does arenas.
Single of the year went to Starting Over by Chris Stapleton.
The best song of all time.
Album of the year went to Starting Over by Chris Stapleton.
Well deserved. What other albums were nominated?
29 by Carly Pearce. Dangerous by Morgan Wallen.
That was never going to win.
Heart by Eric Church and Skeletons by Brothers Osborne. So people are really upset that Morgan Wallen didn't win. He was also
Banned from coming,
walking the carpet, performing, etc.
But he was allowed to be nominated, I guess.
Well, I mean, his album is the country album of the year.
Right. It broke all these streaming records.
All these country album records. Like, critically, it was so good. The fans loved it. Even when, like, they were running through the nominations in the broadcast and people were cheering for each nomination, like, the cheers were through the roof. No,
the Morgan Wallen fans are not happy.
No, they're not happy. And
you know what? When it comes to album of the year, like, that actually, I think, in my opinion, was the biggest country album. I mean, numbers-wise, it was.
And it's not just about the numbers, but musically, it was stellar as
well. It was really good. So this is like I don't know where we go from here. Like, where does Morgan go from here? He's back on the road. He's doing shows around the country.
Yeah.
I don't know where we go.
He, like, tweeted, I think, today that he's just, like, thankful for his blessings and, you know, thankful for tomorrow. Like, not being, like, sour about the whole thing. But the fans are pissed.
The fans are pissed. The fans are, like, putting up billboards. Like, the fans are crowdfunding. Like,
I haven't seen billboards and stuff. I was just seeing, like, on Twitter because it's pretty glaring.
Yeah, no, of course.
His absence. And I guess this was the only category he was nominated in. He could have been nominated in other categories, too. Yeah. But they just really.
I just think it's weird that they're going to ban him but still nominate him. Like, go all the way or don't.
No, but you can't ignore the music, like, and the place that it held this
year. I wonder
year.
How long that's going to last.
Right. Is this a 1 year ban?
Well, actually, I think it's been two now.
No, it was, the album came out in January.
Yeah, but no, like his incident.
His incident was just a few weeks after the album came out.
Oh, okay. So it's only been one CMA.
Yes. This is the first CMA. Yeah.
Okay. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Song of the year went to Starting Over, Chris Stapleton. Vocal group, Old Dominion. Vocal duo, Brothers Osborne.
Okay, I need to talk about this for a minute, because mm-hmm. obviously I would literally lay down on a train track for Brothers Osborne, like, give them my virginity, obsessed. Mm-hmm. And I was so glad they won.
Is there a butt coming?
No.
Oh, you're so glad they won?
So glad they won. Even, like, just, I think they deserve to win. They're literally releasing the most stellar music. But TJ Osborne getting up and winning okay. and kissing his boyfriend was the most, I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, it's historic. Like, that's never happened in country music, and I just thought it was a stunning moment for everyone.
It was a stunning moment. It was a great night for the Brothers Osborne. They performed Younger Me, which is a song that, like, could make me cry. And also, I'm just so emotional. Everything fucking makes me cry. But, like, that song, even before I was pregnant, it came out. Yeah. And it's just, like, so beautiful.
I try and make people listen to that song. Like, everyone should listen to it.
It's so good. And so, it was just a great night and a great moment. And as TJ said in his speech, like, love wins. And he was just so happy to be celebrated. And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going to say, like, you're glad they won, but, like, should have gone to, like, Dan and Shay.
No, absolutely not. Like, I stand Brothers Osborne till the day I die. Like, yeah. I'm so happy for them. And it was just this one little moment, but it was huge. Like, you never see that. And it was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I literally have a screenshot of it on my phone.
Like, that's so cute.
Well, because I was, like, happy, but then also kind of sad that he had a boyfriend, because I've been, like, trying to set him up, like, sliding in his DMs.
Have you really?
But I literally have a screenshot of it on my phone.
Cutie. New Artist of the Year went to Jimmy Allen, and he performed Freedom is a Highway, which is the best fucking song. And someone needs to pick it up for a car commercial.
Yes.
It reminds me of the song that came out of Songland, that was
for who?
For the Jeep commercial. Young.
I don't think I know it.
You do, because I'm always playing it.
Okay, well, also about Jimmy Allen, I just think, like, the more Dancing with the Stars is fully rigged. Like, Jimmy Allen, of course, got sent home literally last week. He had to go to the CMA Awards.
Oh.
Kenya Moore literally got sent home the week Real Housewives of Atlanta started filming. Like, it's fraudulent.
Interesting. Or maybe they're just throwing the round because they're like, I got to get back for the CMAs.
No.
Also, Jimmy Allen's speech was, like, so, so sweet.
What'd he say?
He just, like, talked about his journey, like, moving to Nashville, that, like, 5 years ago at the CMAs, he spent his last $100 so he could come see Charlie Pride perform. And then
I'm going to cry.
Last year, he performed on stage with Charlie Pride, and, like, just thanked his wife and his kids, and it was
that
just beautiful.
That is so cute. I'm going to cry.
Yeah. So those were all the awards that were announced on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. Two that weren't announced but were both won by Kelsey Ballerini were Musical Event of the Year and Music Video of the Year.
Half of My Hometown is an amazing song with Kenny Chesney and Kelsey Ballerini.
It really is. And she was serving looks last night.
She is constantly serving looks. She actually does a really, really good job.
No, like, her red carpet look was so incredible, and then she presented in another incredible look, and she really brings, like, couture.
She does. She takes it seriously, and we really appreciate that.
But I thought everybody was looking great last night. Everyone was looking so
glam,
individually, like, doing their own thing, and I was very into it.
Yeah.
Any performances that were a highlight for you?
Literally Luke Combs and Luke Combs only. Like, it was fucking gorgeous.
It was incredibly gorgeous. Also, Carrie Underwood and Jason Aldean, I didn't know they had a song together.
Yes, they do.
And I very much enjoyed that song.
It's really good.
Yeah. And then Jennifer Hudson just...
I didn't see that. So I'm actually planning on watching, like, all of this on the plane.
Okay, cool.
I brought my iPad.
Cool. No, the performances were great. It was just really nice to be a part of something last night. That's how I felt. Like, to not be watching a reality show, just, like, to be in music's
in the moment.
Biggest night.
Country music's biggest night. People are saying, I saw people saying on Twitter, like, it really is not the same ever since the morning show didn't do the red carpet this year. But, you know, we were limited and we weren't asked back. But
we were limited in our capacity, and yeah. We'll be back. And I thought Luke Bryan did a cute job hosting.
Yeah.
He was cute.
Like
it was fine.
You, no matter what, like, you always end up finding the host annoying. Like, just
shut
up.
Yeah, but he brought out enough people that, like, he diluted his
himself,
annoyingness.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Are you ready for our next story?
Is it the next story that's brought to you by Organifi?
Yes, it is.
A line of organic superfood blends that offer a plant-based nutrition made with high-quality ingredients. Each Organifi blend is science-backed to craft the most effective doses of ingredients that are organic and free of fillers and contain less than 3 grams of sugar per serving. Like the Organifi green juice with essential superfoods and a clinical dose of ashwagandha. It helps reduce stress, support healthy cortisol levels, and Organifi Gold, a superfood tea that supports rest and relaxation so you can wake up feeling refreshed. Each Organifi blend is easy to use by simply mixing it with water or your favorite beverage while on the go. They don't compromise quality for taste. Organifi takes pride in offering the best tasting superfood products on the market at a price that will work out to less than $3 a day. You can experience Organifi's high-quality superfoods without breaking the bank. Go to Organifi.com/toast and use the code TOAST for 20% off your order. That's Organifi.com/toast and use the code TOAST for 20% off any item. So if you're just like drinking water and you want to be making better use of your time getting all these great vitamin superfoods, just throw an Organifi in. They actually taste really, really good. And it's a premium experience. So check it out.
Great. Okay, next story. Alec and Hilaria Baldwin dine in New York City at trendy sushi hotspot Bond Street amid the Rust shooting lawsuit. So Page Six obtained exclusive photos of the couple departing New York City hotspot Bond Street, where they dined with Hilaria's hairstylist on Wednesday following their trip from Vermont. Also, one of the producers on the movie is now suing Alec and...
Really?
Yeah, for emotional distress caused by... the shooting.
Okay. I want to say something. I think that Hilaria and Alec are probably handling this like the worst any two people could handle anything, and I think they're just so toxic. But I do think people are being like a little unfair. Like, oh, they're out to dinner? How could they? Like, you still have to eat. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think people are really taking like advantage of this situation and just like criticizing everything they do. But they do make it so easy because they're so hateable.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, because it's hard not to compare this to, like, the Travis Scott situation.
Okay. I mean, no, I don't agree with that at all.
They're not the same by any means, but it's a similar tragic event.
No, I don't agree.
With this celebrity who is partially responsible.
No, I don't agree.
In what way?
I don't think Alec Baldwin is responsible at all. Like, I think that...
You don't think he's responsible at all?
No. I don't think he knew there was a real bullet in the gun. Do you?
I don't know what he knew.
Oh, no. I think this was, like, literally a horrible, horrible accident. And, like, he's probably traumatized. I don't think he's responsible at all. Like, I don't think I would compare these two situations at all.
I just keep thinking about both of them in tandem because they're also just happening at the same time.
Right. And it's like a death so involving a celebrity.
Yes. And it's just interesting to see the way that other people are talking about it, too.
I see what you're saying, but I think they're so different. Like, I don't think...
They are so different. I'm not saying that they're exactly the same, like, tit for tat, but just... They're kind of similar circumstances. Because you're saying you didn't know... You didn't think for 1 second Alec Baldwin knew there was a bullet. I'm not saying he did or he didn't, but there are people who are saying, like, I don't think Travis Scott knew what was happening.
Okay, even if that were the case, Travis is still responsible. Like, yeah. For the environment, the culture, like, not taking proper precautions before. Even if he had absolutely no idea, up until he was at Dave & Buster's, like, even if he had no idea that anyone had passed away or was in danger, he is still incredibly responsible.
I agree. I was actually talking about it yesterday with someone, and what I was saying was, I personally, and I saw people were like, you're defending Travis because you're a Kylie stan. Kylie has nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
I personally... don't think that Travis knew what was going on or saw what was happening.
Or like how bad it was.
And continued to perform. Because I don't think that he's that evil.
An evil, right.
But considering the environment he fosters at his shows, he should have been looking for it.
Right. Having people on the ground who are looking for it.
Yeah, no, like he should have, you take the time to make sure, like everyone's good here. You see something that looks like, he should have been looking for it. I don't think he saw it, but he should have.
Yeah, no, I have a hard time believing, like, people are that evil. Like, I agree with you. But even so, I still hold him incredibly responsible for the situation even being a remote possibility because of the environment he fosters and the, like, violence he encourages. Like, I think he's 100% responsible. With the Alec Baldwin thing, like, I really believe, and again, we have no idea what actually happened on that set. Like, who put the fucking real-ass bullet? Why is there even a real fucking bullet on a set?
Right.
I have no idea. But I believe... Alec Baldwin had nothing to do with it. Like, I despise Alec Baldwin. I don't think he's a murderer.
I don't think he had anything
to... Murdering a woman with a child. Like...
I don't think he had anything to do with a real bullet in the gun and that this in any way was intentional. But 2 weeks ago, you killed someone.
Accidentally.
And now you're at Bond Street.
No, I feel that. I feel that. But I do think that, like, no, I guess actually when you put it that way, you're 100% right.
You know, like, so I'm not saying, like,
No, I mean, I think that they're handling this, like, horribly. Like, the TMZ video on the side of the street, I agree. But, like, people have to eat. So, like, you know?
Yes, but you can, like, order in.
Yeah,
order
no, in. I agree.
He has every resource available to him. Yeah. Like, Bond Street is somewhere you go to, like, be spotted on Dumois.
No, literally.
So that's why it's a little surprise. It's a strange choice.
Yeah. No, it's bizarre, for sure. Like, it's a trendy place, like, with your hairstylist, for sure. But again, they are, like, not normal. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like, they're insanely stupid. Yeah. And I despise them. But I do think, and again, we really don't know what happened on that set. I do think it was a complete act. Like, I had, maybe not accident, maybe someone did plant the bullet on Alex's part. Like, I don't think he's running around murdering mothers.
Yeah. And so just the crew member is suing Alex and the armorer for negligence after the shooting. So that just came through.
I need a documentary on this because I'm, like, I understand well, there's I think an armorer.
The investigation is ongoing and we need to just wait for the investigation to play out because all these things that we don't know, like, they should be figuring out.
Yeah.
Who brought the bullets?
Where did they even come from? Like, if you have a fake gun on set, why would you ever need a real bullet even remotely close?
I don't know.
And I agree. I guess, like, it is really tacky, like, when there's, like, a family mourning and, like, you're out at Bond Street. I feel that.
That's all I was saying.
Yeah, no, it's a full circle moment. Like, order in. Get a pizza. Doesn't Hilaria love to cook? She can't remember the cucumbers. Hillary. Sorry, I did not mean to call her Hilaria.
Okay.
It goes against, like, if someone in my presence calls her Hilaria, like, I will not acknowledge.
I did it multiple times.
Oh, shit.
I was also just reading the headline. The article.
Like, her name is Hillary. She is of no Spanish descent. Like, lest we not forget.
Yeah. Our next story. Scott Disick has been spotted with a new woman.
I can't.
And he's approaching something that remotely looks like an age-appropriate relationship.
No.
It's better.
What, is she 24?
She's 23. And he's 38.
Okay, the thing is, when you're 23...
At least she's legal drinking age.
Legal drinking age. And when you're 23, like, you're still a child, but you're almost... Like, I was married when I was 23.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, so, like, but again, I don't know if I'm, like, the best example for, like, maturity in adulthood. But 23 is better, but it's still, like, you're 38. Date a 28-year-old. Like,
yeah.
Something. No, and you can still be 28 and really hot and tight and curvy. Like, it's not exclusive to the 18-year-olds.
Or 25. Brain fully formed.
Brain fully formed, 25. I agree. I think anything under 25 is questionable is jurisdiction.
Murky, but I'm glad to see that they can go to a club together and she doesn't have to bring her fake ID.
Right.
Also, she is Brooklyn Beckham's ex. Her name is Hannah Cross.
When I heard that, I literally thought of the TikTok sound. Don't you feel stupid? You're literally dating a teenager's ex-girlfriend. Like, it's so bizarre.
That is true. I hadn't thought of it like that.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where this one goes.
Who is this girl?
She is a girly girl.
A girl. And she's alive?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, she's just like, pretty.
She's just being labeled as Brooklyn's ex. Like,
oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever. 23 is better, but it's still not great. And it's just a pattern of behavior that I find so bizarre.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not here for the pattern, but at least we're getting warmer.
Yeah. And I think that, like, they were really put off by the Amelia thing. Like, really. And I think it was, not that he cares, but I think it was, like, really bad for his image. Like, the way that picture and just, like, their overall age gap. I think people were really, really put off by that.
I mean, I've been put off and I'm a huge fan of his.
Yeah. So I think, like, he stepped it up a couple of years, like, just so people wouldn't just, like, jump down his throat again. Not because this is the great love of his life.
And you couldn't even just step it up a few more
just 25, years. 25. Like, that's literally it. I will do anything. Like, Tim Snatchler. She's snatched.
She's 24. Doesn't make that.
She's going on 25.
Okay. He can call her in May.
Yeah. May 6th to be exact.
Okay. Are you ready for our next story?
I am. Yes, I am.
Lala Kent is speaking out on the Randall breakup. She said...
I forgot that, like, that was real.
I know. And I want to talk about where we're at today on this. It's been a few weeks.
Do you need to get a plane ticket? Because are you in denial?
No, I'm not in denial.
Okay.
Let's talk about what she said and then let's talk about what we'd like to see for her. Okay.
And then let's project our delusions onto our podcast audience.
No, stop it. The Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, by the way, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. The Vanderpump Rules star spoke out about her breakup from the movie producer on her podcast Wednesday and says she's leaning into her role as a mother to her daughter, Ocean. She said, I take it 1 minute at a time because a 7-month-old can't sit around and wait for you to get over shit.
Right.
You better keep your fucking head up and do your thing, so that's what I do. She admitted that she never thought that my life would be where it is right now, and that's okay, but that she's appreciative for her daughter and her book release keeping her distracted from the pain of the split.
Yes, girl, promote the book.
Yes, girlwithnojob.com/book. You have to be grateful for every experience, because what I've been through in my life, which people have been through much crazier and traumatic things mm-hmm. than I have been through, those people inspire me, who deal with the things with grace, and they come out on top even with the hand that they were dealt.
That is such a good way of looking at things. Like, my situation, like, obviously sucks, but, like, it could be so much worse. I'm, like, looking at your blessings as opposed to, like, your curses, I guess.
Yeah.
She's just, like, has a really good head on her shoulders.
She really does.
And I feel sad that, like, we're here, but you know what? She, like, obviously got into a relationship with someone with a lot more money than her, and I feel like she never, like, got lazy. She never let it be, like, her fallback. Like, she never let it get comfortable. Like, mm-hmm. she's like, I know he could leave me in the way that I got him. She was always saying that. She has her own career. She's got the La La Makeup, La La Baby, the book. I think she has a podcast. Yeah, the show.
Where she said these things.
Right. So, you know what? I think she could be in a far worse situation, because I know a lot of situations like that, like, you get comfortable, you think this is your life, and then you don't work and you have nothing left.
Yeah.
So I think she's actually in a pretty good situation.
I would agree. Now, do you think, how would you feel if they got back together?
Fine. I mean, you know what, when there's a child involved.
Some crowd research.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
I think I would feel fine, mostly because there's a kid involved. Like, if your parents can be together, like, wouldn't you want that for Ocean?
Yeah. I just feel like, especially with the way that this season is airing, like, she couldn't do it
alone
because of the way that people would
come for her. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. Like,
even though that's not a reason and a way to live your life.
No, like, Tom and Katie have been to get through far worse, you know?
Yeah. And no, we don't even know what happened, honestly.
Right.
We just saw some girls in a hotel.
Right. He probably fucked him. Like, let's just be realistic. Like, we're all adults. It's okay. And so, is Lala able to get past that?
Yeah. I don't know. But whatever, like,
would you get past that with the father of your daughter, and maybe, you know, if he was financially set, like, would that help? It would help for me, for sure.
I don't know. I hadn't thought about it as me.
Yeah,
I've, like, only thought about it as her.
Not as Zach, just like a total hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
You just had a baby with a guy who was a lot of money.
Get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah, and he cheats on you, like, while you're literally breastfeeding. But he wants to come back. He says he's sorry, and he has a lot of money. Like, what do you do?
No.
I don't know. Money talks. Just saying. Think about it.
I don't know. To have, like, a 7-month-old.
I know. And it's,
can't
so
keep it in your pants.
It's
like,
so
you,
fucked up.
You stand no chance.
No, yeah. People like that are, I know everyone's capable of change, but, like, those people are not.
Yeah, no.
Like, if you're literally fucking some random girl while your wife is breastfeeding your newborn baby, like, you're an animal.
Yeah, you're an animal.
I agree.
So,
but how much money do you have? Like, I need numbers. Like, for real.
Though, if Rala got back together, I do really kind of ship them. I really do. Especially now that we're getting so much of their relationship on the show. It's, mm-hmm. like, the first time we're seeing it. So, at the same time, I'm falling in love with them as a couple. And they're deteriorating.
That's why I forgot that they're broken up. Because I literally watched 2 nights ago them having dinner at Lisa Vanderpump. So, it's very confusing for me.
Yes, it is confusing. But as she said, she's taking it 1 day at a time. I feel like she's made no decisions.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Take your time.
Yeah. She'll see how she feels.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
It's the final story. It's the final story. Prayers go up to Lala. Today's fifth and final story is brought to you by Olive and June, the best manicure system out there. Okay, stop paying for overpriced manicures when you could literally do them at home with the best system of all time. So the Olive and June Mani system is the answer to salon-perfect nails at home. Their polish lasts over 7 days, and it does not chip. And with their manicure system, every at-home manicure comes out to just $2. And we have, obviously, a discount code, but let me tell you about the Mani system. You do it yourself. If you're not good at doing your nails, you think you're not, but then you get the set from Olive and June, and they have this little silicone topper that goes on top of all the nail polish bottles that makes it so easy to, like, steady your hand, especially if you're painting your dominant hand. They've got nail files, cuticle oil. It's literally just all in one. Things you always are looking for in your house. Like, when you break a nail, you're like, do I have a nail file? Well, if you have the Olive and June Mani set, even when you're not doing your nails, you always have a nail file on standby. You're getting salon perfect nails at home that last over 7 days. And it comes with all the tools you need. It's five steps, comes with a poppy, which is that patented brush handle that makes it easy to paint. And it's really, really affordable. With six polishes, breaks down to just $2 a manicure. And you can get 20% off your first mani system with you when you use code TOAST. Your new nail life is here. 20% off your first mani system when you use promo code TOAST at oliveandjune.com. That's oliveandjune.com, promo code TOAST. Check it out. I mean it.
Great. Our fifth and final story, YouTube is removing the dislike count on all videos across its platform.
I saw.
YouTube announced that its decision to make the dislike count on videos private across its platform. The decision is likely to be controversial given the extent that it impacts the public's visibility into a video's reception. But YouTube...
No, I don't think that's true at all.
But YouTube believes the change will better protect its creators from harassment and reduce the threat of what it calls dislike attacks, essentially when right. a group teams up to drive up the number of dislikes a video receives.
That's like when people go to the podcast app and like leave you like a dump One of star, bad reviews.
Yeah.
No, I don't understand why they're hiding it. Like, just get rid of it.
Right. They say that while the dislike counts won't be visible to the public, it's not removing the button itself. Users can still click the thumbs down button on videos to signal their dislike to creators privately. So you can privately be, you know, depressed.
Be harassed.
Yes.
Wait, that's moronic.
Right, you're not protecting anyone's mental health.
You're actually making it worse. Like, I guess you're making them feel more isolated. Like, go, so funny. It's
go
like
go deal so, with your shame
by yourself. That's horrible. Just get rid of it.
Right.
This is what's the problem with all these fucking apps. Like, they do all these bullshit like PR stunts to like actually stop harassment, and they do nothing. Like, this is so stupid. This is counterintuitive.
I mean, this is really, really senseless. Like, honestly,
just get rid of
this
it.
Does, yeah,
or don't.
Or don't.
But get rid of it. Like, yes, you should be doing everything possible to combat people getting harassed. And, like, they do that to YouTubers. Like, they'll dump tons of dislikes. And it's just, like, bad for your brand. Like, get rid of it.
Yeah.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You still get access to how many people dislike you. But yeah. Good, no one else will know. I guess that helps, but...
It helps, but it's still, like, the same thing of you're being attacked.
Oh, my God. That is the crazy, stupidest thing I've ever heard in my
life. And the trolls do still get that, like, feeling of dislike.
Of getting to you.
Yeah.
Just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Did Facebook used to have a dislike?
No.
They invented the like.
They invented the like, and then they gave you other emojis you could, like... Ha-ha.
Yeah.
Crying.
Hurt.
Angry.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's, like, so stupid, but this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, like, deadass.
Yeah.
From a $1 billion tech company, like, that's the best you could do to combat harassment.
And also, like, people will find other ways to let you know that your shit is trash.
No, don't worry. Like, the trolls will literally climb every mountain, sail every sea to let you know that they're fat, that you're fat and they hate you.
Right, like, why can't they just then write a comment that says dislike?
Right, no, maybe now, like...
I guess because the dislike button is anonymous, you yes. can't see who disliked it. So if you want to, I mean, you could always have a fake account, but like if you want to use your...
No, but like your fake account is connected. That's the thing about YouTube. It's connected to your Gmail. So like if you have to be, if you want to be a fucking YouTube troll, you have to make a whole new email account, and that is dedication. And you know what? You're a big loser. Like,
yeah.
It's insane dedication to troll someone on YouTube, because most people are automatically logged into YouTube with their like work account. Like they don't make... new subscriber
yeah
accounts.
Yeah, no, but I guess like disliking something was like a no strings way to troll.
Yeah,
and now you've got to
put yourself out there
and then you would know how it feels,
literally.
And then
but you don't.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm glad that we fleshed that out.
That's that on that. And that's our show. I mean, like, I have to go to the airport. Oh, it's so early. Like, that's the worst.
You can come hang with Brew, see how he felt about those Cheetos.
I know, I'm just going the opposite direction.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Brutus. Well, we hope you have a great trip.
Thank you. I'll be back on Monday.
To hearing everything that goes down.
I will be taking notes.
Keep your eyes open, ears open, legs open.
Check, double check.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be back on Monday. Tomorrow's episode is podcast only. It'll be up, I don't know, with the time difference. Like, we'll have to figure it out.
Yeah.
But it'll be up.
It'll be there.
So that's our show, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. Wherever you listen to podcasts, find us on Morning Toast. Leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. And if you made it to the end of this episode, congratulations. Why don't you go drop an emoji on our most recent Instagram to let us know that you actually listened to the whole episode because you care about your girls. And let that emoji be the bearded man in honor of Chris Stapleton and Luke Combs taking home many awards.
That's so beautiful.
Just throw a man with a beard. It could be Santa. It could be just a regular guy with a beard. It's up to you. Get creative. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow, or you'll hear us tomorrow.
Bye.